This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham.
Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team has been at Mackinac 2, listening to the speeches, talking with the people about policy, proposal, and politics. Rick Pluta is our Capitol Bureau Chief. Zoe Clark is our resident political junkie. Hey, I want you guys to think of someone who's never been to this event, or even to the island for that matter, and describe the scene for us.
Well, let's start with the geography that right now Zoe and I are sitting on the sprawling front porch of the Grand Hotel. We have a view of the Straits of Mackinac and the Mackinac Bridge, and the lilacs are still in bloom. Zoe?
So this conference is, it's so cliche to say it's like the movers and the shakers in Michigan, but basically it's 1,700 business leaders, politicians, philanthropists who come here for a very long week and discuss the issues that are involving everything going on in Michigan, from education to transportation. And of course, we had a gubernatorial bipartisan debate last night, so politics took center stage.
All of it over hors d'oeuvres and cocktails.
Yes, exactly.
I want to talk about that in a little bit, but I want to know why. What's the big draw? Why do all these people go to this conference every year?
Basically, because Michigan's political establishment decamps for this conference because they're drawn by the movers and shakers in the business world who come up here, and vice versa. The business people come up because there's easy access to Michigan's political class, both elected officials and candidates who would like to be elected officials.
And I mean, you can look at it with a cynical eye, and I think plenty of folks do, and there are parts of it that I think it's fair to feel that way about, but Absolutely. There's also plenty of people that I talk to who say that they make real lasting connections at this conference and are able to actually do some good from it. It's, I think it's not always rose-colored glasses looking at it, but things can sometimes get actually done here.
I understand there are a lot of events that happen outside of the official conference. What kind of things are happening there?
Fundraisers.
Many political fundraisers.
Yeah, I mean, so there's sort of these panels throughout the day, right, where groups come together and talk about public education, talk about transit, different things like that. One of the pillars of the conference this year is civility. I mean, I think we can all agree we are not fixing civility after a week on Mackinac Island. But really, other than the panels, it is the schmoozing and the parties and the fundraising.
Well, the Detroit Regional Chamber, which puts on this conference every year, would like to keep everyone sequestered in the Grand Hotel where the event takes place. It's just there are so many people, so many decision makers, and bluntly, so much money that other entities see opportunities to hold their own offsite events to try and make connections, raise money, cut deals, that sort of thing.
So you guys mentioned that the candidates for governor shared a stage. What stood out among the responses you heard? And give us a rundown who was actually there on the stage.
Right, yeah. So it's six candidates, three Republicans, three Democrats. It was on the Democratic side, Abdul El-Sayed, Gretchen Whitmer, and Sri Tanadar. On the Republican side, it's Patrick Kolbeck, Bill Schuette, and Brian Kelly. And we saw all six of them on stage together, right? So it was a bipartisan debate before the August 7th primary.
And we're missing one Republican.
We are. Jim Hines, a fourth Republican, and basically what the chamber did, again, who puts this conference on, basically did it by poll numbers. So you had to sort of reach a threshold to be invited, and his poll numbers, he wasn't polling high enough to be invited.
Well, the chamber commissioned a poll, and the top three from each party were invited. There's also a libertarian primary as well, but they were not invited at all. And so Jim Hines did not fall into the top three. That's why he wasn't here. And he's, as you might imagine, not happy about that. There are three Democrats on the primary ballot, so for the Democrats, it was a non-issue.
What did we hear from them?
A lot of different things that we've already heard on the campaign trail. Gretchen Whitmer said, fix the damn roads. Bill Schuette reminded us that he's been endorsed by Donald Trump. One interesting thing he said, and you decide whether or not this is Pollyannish, but that he thinks that we can improve services and education and fix the roads and still cut taxes because if he's governor, more people will move back to Michigan.
And hang on. I can't let that go. Bill Schuette says if he's governor, more people will move back to Michigan because he's governor.
He says that as governor, he will do things that will get more people to move back to Michigan.
I don't think he was saying specifically him per se, right? That someone in Kansas is going to be like, oh, there's that Bill Schuette. He's governor now. I'm going. But the policies that he would put into place to clarify.
But, you know, but we already know that more people are moving to Michigan or returning to Michigan. He would certainly like us to think that if that happens, that it's because of him.
What was fascinating, though, is there are these six candidates on stage, but two politicians who are not on stage but took up a lot of breath and energy on the stage was Jennifer Granholm and Donald Trump, right? That those two names that the Republicans are saying, if you vote Democratic in November, that you are basically going to go back to the Granholm era, which we know this is a whole nother debate, whether you want to debate whether it was Democratic policies. But of course, we had the Great Recession. That was a lot of what the Republican push was, which was, you know, beware Jennifer Granholm 2.0. And then on the other side, Democrats and Donald Trump and Bill Schuette, I like to say, hasn't just doubled down on the fact that Donald Trump has endorsed his candidacy, but at this point, like infinity down, like anytime he can mention it, he certainly does. And so Jennifer Granholm, Donald Trump really were just as much a part of this debate as these six candidates were.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump for just a second. Former U.S. Speaker John Boehner was on the island. Ricky reported on his speech, and we heard Boehner say this.
There is no Republican Party. There's a Trump Party. The Republican Party is kind of taking a nap somewhere.
Best panel of the week by far. Boehner figuratively let his hair down. I don't think just because there were 9:15 a.m. they were drinking Bloody Marys. He only had a few sips. But, I mean, talked about the fact that there is no Republican Party anymore. I mean, it was a very open speech and has been now making news across the nation for the things that he said at this panel.
Rick, we heard that you got the official Republican response, and that was that the party in Michigan is alive and well. But what was the after-hours talk? What was the talk at the Mackinac Island bars about what Boehner said?
I think that people mostly found it entertaining. They were struck in the moment, but yeah, I mean, I think they just liked a lot of the stories that he told. But it struck me because, I mean, that's a pretty profound thing for a recently departed congressional Republican leader to say. And what he was saying is that right now, Republican bona fides are not measured in terms of fealty to any particular set of ideas or principles, but by loyalty to the president. And then he went on to say that, you know, with the exception of tariffs and trade, really, you know, Republicans shouldn't have too many problems, you know, with what he was doing. But it was a striking thing to say.
But let's be clear. I mean, although it was and broke some news, I mean, we have been starting to hear that from some, I don't know if you want to call them establishment Republicans or moderate Republicans, but you have Republican Governor John Kasich of Ohio saying a few weeks ago, you know, I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me. And so it's sort of an echo of that same sentiment.
Another controversial thing that was said, or at least some people will find it controversial, the Detroit school superintendent Nikolai Vitti spoke at the conference, and he said there's a reason Detroit schools are in crisis, and that is racism. What was the response to those attending?
I think that there is a consensus that, you know, race is issue in, I mean, not just the Detroit schools, but the welfare of the city itself. And that's always a topic of discussion, you know, on this particular island, you know, especially the irony that basically Southeast Michigan, Michigan's political establishment, come to a hotel that in many ways celebrates antebellum culture.
I also think it builds upon the speech, the really kind of spectacular speech that folks still talk about that Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan gave last year about housing discrimination from decades ago and how that in some ways has created, you know, the Detroit that we see today. And so that's definitely, you know, a thread in all of these conversations, especially when you're talking about Detroit and especially when you're talking about Detroit and its future.
So I want to ask you real quickly to tell us what you heard that was not on the official conference, but rose above the din at the island.
It was on the itinerary, but it was also an offline discussion that, you know, just before this conference started, Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle declared a regional transportation proposal in Southeast Michigan dead. Brooks Patterson has had some nasty things to say about it. It's become kind of a feud between Patterson and Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan. And this group of Metro Detroit business leaders, that their dream is a regional transportation system, and that they have been trying to accomplish this for generations. And, you know, the discussion of regional transportation at this particular conference is like a second marriage, the triumph of hope over experience.
And I'll do you one better, I think, which is the departure of Rick Snyder.
Yes.
You know, one of them in terms of business leaders, right? That Rick Snyder, when he took office in 2011, Lester, you and I were both here at this conference, and he was greeted like a rock star, right? That he is Southeast Michigan, business-minded first. And there was actually, like, it got emotional at one point where Rick Snyder is saying goodbye, and the CEO, the head of the Detroit Chamber, is thanking him. And so that, to me, is this really interesting dynamic about what is going to come next for business leaders who make up so much of this conference with the next governor, and what will that relationship look like going forward?
Well, I've got to let you guys go, but I've got a couple of points I need to make. The working stiffs here at Michigan Radio, I hope you remember to bring back some Mackinac Island fudge.
My bag is full of it.
Great. With all the people leaving today, there's going to be more horse traffic. Be careful not to step in anything.
We'll be on the lookout.
That's Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta with It's Just Politics, which you can hear on Monday mornings here on Michigan Radio. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lester.
You bet.